Well, Joni's traveling again, off to England at last report, but earlier this month she made a stop in Toronto, unfortunately not here. But anyway, that is where she was when we had this conversation.
Hey, Vicky, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. I was hoping and praying you'd be out here.
Well, we were going to, I guess, go cross-country like we did the last time we spoke with you, but
what
happened? It all out of Vancouver. Well, I've got post-polio syndrome, so that I have to kind of guard my energy. I mean, I'm still standing, I'm upright, and everything is pretty good, but I just have to watch my energy.
Have you, when did you start to notice the reset, shall we say, of the symptoms?
Well, there's a lot of different things that accompany it. I'm not in any kind of bad shape, but at this point, it interferes with your sleep patterns. I have a foot that's beginning to club. I'm just at the beginning. Basically, what happens is that 40 years after you had polio, your electric wiring, which has been, you've got wires down, and those muscles are atrophied. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of down wires in my back.
Good
then,
God.
Then the neighboring wire, in the body's wisdom, sends out tributaries to try and animate the one that's down and the weakened ones that are adjacent. So sometimes you've got muscles that are being driven by wires with three or four branches off them, and they just get tired, and they start to go. So your the curvature of your spine becomes exaggerated, and I'm fighting it off with yoga, and so far I'm doing okay. Neil Young had it also in his back, and he's got a steel rod up his back, and I haven't talked to him to see how he's doing, but there are many and varied symptoms, but the thing about polio survivors is that we're tough cookies, We don't have the sense to lie down or really admit that things are going wrong. So anyway, that's all I want to talk about the situation. I'm still standing.
I'm glad to hear that. Your guitar wire hasn't snapped yet.
No.
I saw you on the TV on Much Music a couple of weeks ago. I thought you looked absolutely first rate. I mean, whether or not you've been napping or you just don't reveal it or you continue to have, facelifts or something.
No facelifts. But I'm in real good spirits and generally, all I need is a good night's sleep and I'm fine.
You did. You sang a song, which I thought was pretty good, with the all-time great lyric that I may have to have tattooed on my left breast, that happiness is the best facelift. That is a good line.
I believe it is.
Great
yeah,
line.
I think it is. Yeah, I'm reluctant to go beneath the blade, most of the women my age have done it. It's just, did you ever see Brazil?
Yes.
I'd be afraid that I'd turn into orange jello.
Yeah. But, you've got those bones up there underneath your eyes that hold everything up,
They help a little, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that I can't possibly know everything about you, even though that I have nagged you before, but I didn't realize that you are convinced that you have Sammy blood in you. Maybe that's where you get those bones.
Well, years ago when I was a child, I believe it was my dad's oldest sister, Alma, told me, she taught me some Norwegian. And I asked her why Papa didn't speak Norwegian, and she said, that was because when Grandma and Grandpa fought, they fought in Norwegian. They didn't pass it on to the kids, and that he called her a dirty reindeer herder when he got pissed off at her. Now, this is really out of line. Once again, I have to apologize to my parents. This is like,
you're spending a lot of time doing that.
It just seems like I can't be myself without apologizing to my parents. But anyway, people are ashamed of blood like this, and I would like to be all, I wish I had black blood. Sometimes I think I do, I think I must have been Senegalese in another life. At least my rhythmic sense is definitely not whitey.
Well, thank God for something.
But I do believe that we have this Sammy blood.
Have you ever listened to that some of that new Sammy music? I'm thinking of Marie Boyne Person. Yeah, Person, P-E-R-S-O-N. Have you heard of her?
No, I would love to hear some.
Oh, you've got to get, I'm sure that, you can just go and wander around Sam the Record Man, can't you?
Sure.
I guess will you get mobbed if you do that?
No, okay. I walk around, and I walk around all the time. I don't worry about that stuff.
Good for you. So go there in the international department and get, because they're quite a bit, quite a number of Sammy recordings. With this fabulous sound, which you will no doubt be hooked on.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, I was given an award in Italy, and we were going to go, Gloria and I, my road manager, mm-hmm. to Lapland, and they had parkas built for us. We were going up into Sami Land at the time when their music is the most vivid, which is when they sort the young deer from the older deer. And everything was in preparation for us, but we had done a video in the streets of Los Angeles, and while we were there, I was playing a black male soldier drunk in an alley, and they sprayed us with malathion, and everybody on that crew came down with some really strange illnesses, and I came down with just a kind of a killer flu. So
why would they do that? Who did that?
The city of Los Angeles. I don't know why there's no orange groves in the bowels of Hollywood, but there are a lot of derelicts.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their reasoning was, but anyway, we got sprayed with that, and it must have weakened everybody's immune system. It isn't that we got the same sicknesses. We just all got sick. One guy, the director, got typhus. We all got strange things within about 2 weeks later. Probably whatever germs we had in us incubated after that. So I missed out on this opportunity, but the travel agent was, I think she was Lapland, and she said, oh, I knew Joni had Sami blood. She said, wait till she hears their music, because apparently it's quite rhythmically complex, and the government, like governments everywhere, messing with their Inuit or their natives, had forbidden them to play their drums in the sauna. So
God, it's like a conspiracy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you can take your sauna, but you can't take your drums in there, you know. So
oh,
we were
good accent.
Hear, like, some, I don't know the accent, so I have to wing it. Yeah. It's like
so sort of Hungarian, if you ask me. But anyway. Oh, God. Well, I just tell you, we'll natter on about something else, but somebody who's here, a prairie dog, I mean, every prairie dog that works on my show or is in this building is now humming around the studio just to hear your charming voice.
Oh.
Isn't it funny? This new album of yours, it took how long since the last one? Since 2 or 3 years?
I'm not really sure, because they keep holding them back, you know.
Why?
Till the dust settles. Well, they held the last one back because the big fish ate the little fish, you know. And and in this case...
The record label, you mean?
It took that long to negotiate a transfer from Geffen.
Yes.
So it's been in the can for over a year.
It has, mm-hmm. And still there are kind of, there have been embargoes on it, and hold it here and don't play this or well, you know, all that stuff must drive you a bit goofy. I mean, do you care about that kind of thing? And what would happen if we played it early? I mean, I'm just asking, would they sue us?
Gee, I don't know, Vicky. I mean,
how can you say to somebody, you can't play this art before this date? Because then it's not art anymore, it's something else, isn't it?
Well, that's all commerce. I guess they don't want people hearing it until they can rush out and buy it. I guess they think people's attention spans are atrophied to the point where they can't hold on to something. You know, they'll hear something in between and buy it instead. I'm not sure the logic, but it has something to do with the mercantile thrust.
The mercantile thrust. And yet you sang some of these numbers when you went to Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
How was Edmonton? I wish
I'd
gone.
Oh, it was really nice. I just loved it. My relatives were there in full force, and my mother said, oh, you're not going on without a band. You know,
I thought you were going to say, oh, you're not going on in that outfit.
No, that's what that was the comment the last time. Hello, Mama.
Why do they? My mother says things like, if you could just get your hair out of your eyes,
yeah.
It'd be just fine. I'm 50-ish, nearly.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And you're 50-ish.
Mothers are mothers.
Yeah. I know. No,
still
well.
Preteeners to them.
I know. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, they all came and they all sat there peering at you.
Yeah.
Big fun.
It actually was. The audience was extremely warm. The setting was beautiful. There were bike trails. Went biking every day, like for 3 days. I got there a little early and poked around.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. You know, I don't get home that often to the prairie in the summer. And, you know, I got all sneezy from the goldenrod and all sorts of familiar things happened.
You just felt warm all over.
Yeah.
But, you know, did it take a lot of encouragement to get you to go to Edmonton? Did you want to go? Was it something you pursued?
Well, I was putting my toe in the water just to see if I still like performing, especially, you know, I took a gig in Nara in Japan earlier in the summer, at the beginning of summer, and that was a big group show, international,
mm-hmm.
and the Edmonton one of the offers, which were many and diverse and having varying lengths, I just decided to take two isolated gigs, and it's hard to remember all of my reasoning on it at this point.
Oh, it's okay. I'll let you off the hook.
But those are the two I took.
But I think it's interesting that you would, the first one that you would take would be in a country that English is not the mother tongue. So, like, if they didn't like the lyrics, they wouldn't even know if they didn't like the lyrics.
Well, the Japanese are very scholarly when they like a musician. Mm-hmm. And they like me there, and they've been they're a very good audience for me.
I have to say that I have the lyric sheets for the new album. And I don't know which one to talk about first. I guess Sex Kills, which is pretty well, you know, on the lineup, quite close to the top, but the second one. This is quite an indictment. I mean, there you live in the city, about which I suppose this is written. And it's, I don't know how you stay there, tell you the truth, in that town of L.A.
It's very hard to get out of, and plus, you know, as tough as it is now, I've been there off and on for so long that, well, I've had a house there longer than anywhere else that I've lived. I've lived there longer than Saskatoon or North Battleford or Maidstone, there are a lot of good people in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. but it is the natural disaster capital of the globe.
It never seems to stop.
And the unnatural.
I mean, are you not nervous there at all?
Oh, yeah.
You are.
That's part of the reason why my nocturnalness is so exaggerated. I'm the night watch woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, bolts and chains and things on the window and stuff like that?
Yeah, I live in an old Spanish house which is designed with bars on the windows, and I have talking doors that announce which door is opening.
What do you mean, like it says the door is ajar? That kind of thing?
It says back porch door.
No! I want one!
Kitchen window.
At what point does it say that? And will it say it all day long?
No, I see. Just when it opens.
Right, so if you're in the middle of the night, you don't hear, like, the door talking.
Then I'm all right.
Yes. Why don't you just get a big doggy?
Because I'm too much of a gypsy. I'd love to have a dog, but I just don't want to, you know, leave him prowling around, poor lonely thing. I have cats.
Yeah, well, they don't care.
Well, their ears go up. But they don't bark or anything.
Now, the painting on your new album, I haven't really seen it. I've just had it described to me. So I think you have to do a better job than the person who described it to me.
The front cover?
Yeah.
Do you know the painting of Van Gogh?
Yeah, the self-portrait?
Well, he did two or maybe more. I've seen two self-portraits he did after he cut his ear off.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like he did them before he took his coat off. He had a fur hat on and a green kind of a loden-colored corduroy coat.
I mean, he just ran in and started painting.
Well, either that or he put this costume on. For some reason, that was an important part of the portrait. But two of them are done in this costume. And so it's a self-portrait in the style of Van Gogh, in the costume of Van Gogh. We intend to put the first 10,000 copies, little ears are going to fall out.
Stop that. That's really hideous.
No, that's true. Little tin ears.
Little tin ears.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great. Who did? Did you paint it?
Yes.
I guess you must be a pretty good painter.
Well, I should be ripening soon. I've been painting all my life.
Do you think that if you had not decided to sing and be make music your life, that painting would have taken you to the same level of, oh, I don't know, admiration and respect if you had just concentrated on that? And
no,
not,
I don't think so, because knowing. I was going against the grain, once again, of the trends. I was in conflict with my profs in art school. When I got to art school, I wanted to learn classical chops. You know, I wanted a classical arts education. They said that was unnecessary. And this is typical of art schools all over this continent, and not in Europe, but in North American continent, that they said it was the age of the camera, and basically they were clones of either Barnett Newman or de Kooning. They were like second-generation abstractionists and contemptuous of anyone with any real hand-to-eye coordination. They considered you commercial artists, and they had you doing like tire layouts and things like that. So there was a kind of a prejudice against you if you had drawing ability at that time. They considered it no longer necessary. So I was in conflict, as so many would-be impressionists or realists or whatever you want to call us. I'm not sure what ist I am, but I wanted to paint things that I saw, people that I knew, and that was considered out of style. And it's only recently that young students of this current generation have demanded it, and some of the schools now are including a classical background.
Where did you go to art school?
Alberta College of Art.
Did you have aspirations to go to New York and draw and paint?
I didn't get that far in my thinking.
No, I... That damn guitar took you to Yorkville.
Well, I started making pin money at art college, playing in Edmonton on the weekends and playing locally in Calgary on the weekends. And then I went east to see Buffy St. Marie play at the Mariposa Folk Festival, and then I went to Detroit, and the rest is history.
Is it ever? You've never written a book, have you?
No.
Would you?
Well, I write short stories from time to time. Oddly enough, with Peter Elbling, who when I played at the Depression in Calgary, he was an English kid, and he was folk singer in residence at that place, and I was the second to come, so we were kind of the local. Along with Will Millar, we were like the three locals in Calgary, folk singers. And he's a comedy writer in Los Angeles, and he writes short stories, and we write and get together. So we've kept in touch all these many years.
When I thought, thinking of book, I mean, I would think that people would be interested in an autobiography, but perhaps you can't be bothered.
Well, I think fiction would be more interesting because... because of the what other famous people did you know kind of element, you know. To me, that's not the interesting part of my life, and necessarily. I mean, occasionally, fantastic things are happening in the company of famous people, but usually it's happened in the company of unfamous people. So, commercial pressure would call for a kind of a... People really love yellow junk nowadays. And I don't want to make that kind of book, so I felt that perhaps in the fictional form I could tell the truth more accurately. And that's what I've attempted, what I've begun priming the pump with, is short stories.
Have you ever done anything with a pseudonym?
No. I mean, I guess some people think Joni Mitchell is a pseudonym.
Well, it isn't. But that's not your first name, really, Joan. Nobody calls you Joan.
Well, no, everybody called me Joni, and the Roberta was just on the birth certificate. It never...
So nobody ever said, Roberta, get your hair out of your eyes.
Never.
the song on this album that really sent me reeling was the Magdalene Laundries piece. Where did you get this idea?
I got it from a newspaper article. I think it was the Vancouver Sun front page. Mm. Saying that the article basically said that 11 and a half acres had been sold by the Sisters of Our Lady of Charity, which was a Magdalene laundry outside of Dublin. Every major city had a Magdalene laundry.
Yes.
And I guess some smaller towns as well. Anyway, this particular Magdalene laundry had sold 11 and a half acres to developers, and
right.
They, in plowing, unearthed a lot of over 100 unmarked graves. Well, not totally unmarked, but anonymous graves. Our Sister of the Tears, Magdalene of the Sorrows, Magdalene names, anonymous names.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened a scandal which apparently closed. The laundries were closed in 1970, but they lasted for 170 years. From 1800 to 1970, women were incarcerated in this manner.
It's...
That's not that long ago.
No, isn't that appalling? It was appalling 100 years ago, equally appalling now, but it is a fantastically beautiful song.
Thank you.
And I will tell you that the sound of this album, says she lighting up, I'm so jealous. I, of course, have quit.
Good for you.
Oh, good for me.
Yeah.
I know. Just coughing my guts out all over the table. I had to do something. But boy, I tell you, if you ever quit, you'll be so porky you won't know what hit you.
Well, that's what happens every time I quit. Yeah, like I go rolling around for about a month or so, and then I say, no.
The pants won't do up, and I just hate that. So you do try and quit all the time, do you?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Anyway, it's sort of hard to get from digging up bodies to that, but... You sound wonderful. I'm delighted. I wish you were here and we could have a cigarette.
Yeah. Be nice to see you, Vicky.
Yeah. Well, nothing's changed. And even less has changed with you, as witnessed on the TV. Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
See you soon.
See you.
Bye, Joni. Joni Mitchell. Her newest work is Turbulent Indigo. It's on the Warner label.